his mouth, tasting freedom while he deaths, then calling back. Already started.
All right, well, then start the show.
Okay. Are you recording right now? Oh, okay. Faggot. What?
Nothing.
Didn't think so. All right. Hey, yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo. I'm ready to record. I got NXT on in the background watching Summer Rae and, what's her name? Emma do their dance-off.
Oh, right. The best part of the dance-off, the last week's NXT, because the man they call B and I watched it, was when they did the backstage segment for the dance-off, and Dusty Rhodes, just looking really happy and cabbage-patching, was hilarious.
Hey, man, he looked old. He's losing weight as he's getting older, though. It's probably because he's so damn old. I mean, just look at him.
I know. So old.
Yeah. So this is Emma just used the chicken dance. So, I mean, that is pretty sick moves. It's funny, you know what? She looks great here. She's in her shorts and she has a shirt on. And she looks hot as hell because when she actually comes out in her wrestling outfit, she's always showing her stomach and she's always got a bit of a belly. So it's obviously the way she dances or dresses. I mean, and she can't be fat. That's already Caitlyn's gimmick. And Stephanie McMahon.
That's true. Yeah, I was going to say it's more Steph's.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, yeah. Emma's already more entertaining than 90% of the roster up there. I'm going to tell you that, even with the sound off here.
Yeah. Oh, but, all right.
So,
well,
yeah, it's been 10 days since we last recorded, and 1,000,000,001 things have happened. So we should probably get to some of them.
Okay.
Though I am distracted by wanting to nail Summer Rae and Emma.
That's true. That's true. And why wouldn't you? What do we want to talk about?
I don't know. Where the hell do you want to start? Like I said, there's been an awful hell of a lot here.
That's true. Let's talk about Kurt Angle.
That was one of the ones I was going to mention. I was going to start throwing out subjects to you and see what happened. So Kurt Angle hit a patch of ice.
Dun, 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 dun. Rehab. 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 Rehab.
You've been saving off of that for about 5 days here, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. That was like the first thing I thought of.
I thought it was going to be dun, 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 dun. You're drunk. You're drunk.
We don't know what it's
for. No, that's true. That's true.
I mean, he did get a DWI or DUI, what have you, again. But, I mean, there's obviously countless different pill and alcohol combination issues that I'm sure Kurt has, right?
Well, yeah, this is kind of one of those things where we knew he needed to go to rehab when he went to TNA.
But he said, no, no, no.
Well, that's pretty much it. And so they never sent him. So instead of, and I know he has been a little better. He's been better than in WWE. Because let's face it, towards the end, they literally didn't think he was going to live another month. And so going to TNA has saved his life. So, I mean, from that perspective, I mean, yeah, this has been, it's been good. But nevertheless, the fact that he's never been forced to go to rehab means that he's been living with these problems, probably getting worse with them in some ways. You're checking yourself out on the camera. You're ugly. Don't worry about it.
Love myself.
But
I think...
Go ahead.
The thing I was going to mention, though, you say it saved his life. I'm not so sure that it did.
Prolonged it?
Because I don't know. I think it's about exactly the same, to be honest, because with the wellness program and that they've got in terms of this free rehab deal, I think that they probably would have he would have been in there and done the same. I mean,
he would have been forced to go to rehab earlier, but the fact is he probably would have just died outright before failing the rehab or any of the tests or anything. Like he was rough. And to look at him physically, you can see the difference between his last days in WWE and what he's looked like in TNA.
Well, he had that stint where he was talking about Olympics,
yeah.
right? And I think that's really what did it, because that was more his, like, that's when he looked healthy.
Yeah.
Is in that stint, right? When he was trying to, and I think he was legitimately, I mean, I don't think he had a hope, but I think he was legitimately going to try for a comeback.
Oh, absolutely he was.
And there,
at 42 or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, so it had to be cleaner.
Yeah.
Right? It had to be Olympics clean. Yeah. Right? So
that's cleaner than you have to be in TNA.
I think, yeah, exactly. Or WWE. I think that's what really, I think that's what
well,
did.
And theoretically, I do believe, theoretically, the people in TNA probably are not as clean as the people in WWE. Like, there's a few people in WWE that I look at and go, I think he's clean. There's very few people in TNA I see that. Even the smaller guys in the X Division, I don't think that.
No, I know. Like, your PDs and your Sanjays and such like that. It's like
Austin Aries, AJ Styles, I wonder. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, I mean, I look at Christian, I think, well, he's clean. I mean, I'm looking at Kofi Kingston. I think he may be clean, you know?
Well, now he is. Right now he is.
Yeah, having come back skinny as hell.
A little
round, actually, maybe, for him. Yeah, but, I mean, so there are guys, though, that I look at like that. I'm going, okay, they're not, you know. But, the thing is, again, coming back to Kurt Angle, I'm just glad he's never killed anybody. And you know, I mean, I would guess if over the last if there's 365 days a year and we're looking at, you know, some 1,800 days over the last 5 years, he could have driven drunk 1,000 of them, and it wouldn't surprise me.
Oh,
or impaired in some manner. And because the person that apparently is that he was called while he was driving, because the person behind him saw a person who was driving so dangerously and so recklessly that they called the police. Like, he was all over the road. So, I mean, that makes me think that he's been like that again. I don't know how many times, but if he's caught, this is his fourth time he's been caught? How many times has he actually driven like that is the real scary number.
That is. It is. And he's going to go into rehab. From a storyline perspective, Hard Justice, they had that tag match announced. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know... this is the tape show, right?
This one airing tonight is the tape show, yes.
Right. So, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but...
Well, I only watched last week's show earlier today, so...
Yeah, and I don't know if they'll broach the subject tonight, well, with, you know, like a backstage thing that they can splice in, or if they'll do it at the Hard Justice show, or does Angle show up for that and he's the guy that loses? Because that's the deal, is it whatever it is, it's a 5-man or a 10-man, and whoever gets pinned has to leave TNA forever?
Or is he just outright replaced by their big signee Tito Ortiz?
Chico, maybe.
I don't know. He shouldn't have any matches. Theoretically, you can go to rehab, come out, have your match, and go home, but it doesn't work that way. And the temptation is too great, right? And let's face it, because he drives himself so hard, he takes some serious bumps, and he's, he's hurting, right, after his matches. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if he goes... See, the thing is, we don't know if he's going to rehab because it's like, oh, God, I'm caught again, I have to. Or it's like, oh, God, I got to get this under control. I want to go to rehab.
I'm thinking it's the previous.
Yeah, kind of me too, which means that I'm, you know, skeptical that it'll work.
Too bad.
Because it's like Matt Bourne, you know. He was in rehab and he's dead, you know, recently here. So.
That's true.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm just glad he never took out somebody else driving drunk. That's my main thing.
Yeah.
I don't know from a storyline perspective. It just seems like talking about a storyline perspective and the importance of that relative to the fact that we're talking about, you know, his life and also talking about the fact that it's a TNA storyline.
Well, let's talk about the fact that I'll tell you why I'm moving on to the TNA end of things in the storyline is, you know, yeah, you can talk about the importance of the quote unquote importance of his life, but these are all a result of decisions that Kurt Angle has made. So I'll quote my good friend, Ivan Drago. Mm-hmm. If he dies, he dies. Yeah.
Well, I'd agree for that.
You did it to yourself.
But yeah,
right?
He dies, he dies.
So
but like I say,
TNA
for me, it's more for me. I mean, like I say, we're talking about his life. So I don't care. He dies, he dies. It's what he's done, blah, blah, blah. Unfortunately, he's so driven that he's put himself in this situation. But he hasn't done it.
Right.
He hasn't – you have to keep in mind, he hasn't done this saying – it's not like he's done this because he's just – a selfish prick. He's done this because, I mean, he has given his all to entertain fans. So it's not like he dies for me. There, you know, he has given his all. Now, part of that's his personal pride and his own issues, but also he's a man with a family. He's got kids still. And you know what? He's also, like I said, I'm more worried that he would accidentally hit another vehicle, kill them. Like, so there's a lot of things on. So all that is much bigger, like I say, than a storyline. Though I do know what you're saying. Like, well, I do know what you're saying. There has to be a level, there always has to be a level of self-responsibility, which is part of what they're going to teach him in rehab.
Hopefully. Well, I mean, it's what they're going to try to teach him. I guess it's whether the message comes through. Comes back to, as I said, is this a publicity PR move, or does he actually want to be there, right? I mean, that's
hey, – who's this new new character on NXT here on the screen here? This guy with who loves to look at himself on his phone and stuff.
You want to go right there? Should we talk about him now?
What the hell?
Because we got a question about – I got an email.
I don't know. I'm just looking at it. I'm thinking – it's like an update of an old gimmick. You know what I mean?
Addy, ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com, and it looks, I don't know, it says S. Wilson. I don't know. That's all it says. S. Wilson is who sent this thing because they didn't sign it.
We get those funky names. This guy didn't think of one.
They didn't even leave a name. It's just I'm going with what his email is. I won't read it on the air. anyway.
Spend some time to come up with a good work name, folks. Entertain us.
Yes.
Like
entertain
the Bannibal.
Me, fool. That's right.
Davey,
the Bannibal.
Davey.
Yeah. But anyway, he asked, he said he watched Tyler Breeze. That's his fellow's name. He saw Tyler Breeze debut on NXT. Okay. And I guess his fellow must be, I don't know how old he is, or maybe we're just old. But his dad came into the room and said, oh, that's like Rick the Model.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted us to explain who Rick the Model was and what his contributions to wrestling were.
I'm trying to think of somebody kind of at his level right now. Christian would be a good example. Even Dolph Ziggler, maybe. Though Dolph Ziggler still has quite a bit of upside. One of those guys, Rick Martel. Originally, before he was a model, a French-Canadian wrestler, went to the AWA and was the guy who was given their world title because AWA was in a strange situation where they had to get the belt off the guy who had it due to contractual obligations. And
because he ran over it with a truck.
Okay, he was a bit of a prick.
But Stan the Lariat
didn't want to do the job. And so they had this guy.
No, it's not that he didn't want to do the job. He knew that the situation there is the belt helped his bookings in Japan.
Yeah.
And so by losing the belt, didn't matter about, he didn't give a shit about the AWA.
No, so he didn't want to do the job for that reason.
That's right. I'm just explaining why.
So anyway, so they had to get the belt off of him. And Rick Martel was somebody who was a baby face that was somewhat popular. And they thought, he was a good-looking guy. They thought, maybe we can push him to the moon. Like, let's give this a try here. Maybe this will be our version, a singles version of the Rock and Roll Express. We were having great success. That type of thing, like that young guy to try and get the female demographic, the Von Erichs, that type of thing.
Kind of a Von Erich, or a combination of rock and roll and Bob Backlund, almost.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, a good wrestler, very good wrestler, good athlete, that he didn't work as champion. It just, you know, he just wasn't at that level. Fans didn't see him at that level. He didn't have enough tenure within the AWA at that time. He didn't just go in and get a world title. So, you know, he ended up leaving there. He became most famous. First, when he came over to the WWE, he wrestled with Tom Zenk in something called the Can-Am Connection.
The Can-Am Connection.
For them, their highlight was probably WrestleMania 3.
Against Don Morocco and the Ace Cowboy Bob Orton, the opener of the pay-per-view. And, of course, the Can-Am Connection was that Tom Zenk was from America, and Rick Martel was from Canada. Yeah. So Can-Am.
And they kind of look similar and everything. So they were getting actually
– They used to do vignettes in the locker room where, you know, Tom Zenk would say something about, oh, we've got the Colorado Rockies. And then Rick Martel would say, oh, yes, but we have the Rockies in Alberta. And then they would just compare the fucking countries.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, they'd also have, you know, vignettes where girls were chasing them and such or whatever. Right?
Yeah, it was 1986.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the Can-Am Connection, like I say, they had a bit of momentum. You know, it was a pretty crowded tag team division at the time. Rick Martel ends up, you know, Tom Zenk has problems. Tom Zenk had a few issues over the years, ends up leaving. They're kind of stuck with Martel, and they wanted to continue using him as a tag team. So they ended up putting him with Tito Santana, who wasn't doing anything. It'd been a couple of years since Santana had been a singles competitor for the IC belt. And so they ended up putting them together as a tag team called Strike Force. And they had a fair bit of success. Again, they were tag team champions, though you wouldn't call them the most over tag team of the era. They did have great music.
The storyline was the Can-Am Connection was feuding with Bobby Heenan's Islanders. Mm-hmm. And so the storyline was that the Islanders beat the fuck out of Tom Zenk, and he was so to the point where he just left and he wasn't coming back. Like, he was a chicken shit, basically. Is that he just left and he wasn't coming back, leaving Rick Martel defend for himself against the two Islanders in some TV appearances. And Chico was doing Spanish announcing and come in and saved Martel from a beatdown from the Islanders. Mm-hmm. And then that was it, leaving to one of the best backstage vignettes of all time, where Tito Santana said, "Yes, we're going to strike them. And we're going to do it with force." Hey, you know, that's a great name. We are the Strike Force.
Yeah.
That's how they got their name.
That's how they got their name. Anyways, they ended up being the guys who got the tag team titles off the Hart Foundation. It was, you know, when
Boston Crab
on the Anvil. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and then up losing it eventually to Demolition.
At WrestleMania 4.
At which point, I mean, Martel was gone. He had an injury. And when he came back, the storyline was that Tito wanted to tag team with him again, and Martel didn't seem to be too into the idea. And eventually, they did tag team, and disastrous results, they would say.
Against the Brainbusters, mm-hmm. and Chico accidentally hit Ricky Martel with the Flying Jalapeno, and so Martel was on the apron and was like holding his face and like, "What the fuck?" And then. Then eventually just walked out on Chico. And essentially then he come in, he took Slick as his manager temporarily. That didn't last too long, but he had Slick in to manage the model and just to sort of establish him as a heel, as Rick Martel. And then they kind of morphed him into the model.
Yeah, he wasn't the model.
Relatively
quickly. He wasn't the model right away. But, I mean, obviously when he became Rick the Model Martel, that was his most famous gimmick. That's what he's best known for. If you say Rick Martel, people from that era might go, "Hmm?" But if you say Rick the Model Martel, they'll go, "Ah." You can even just say the model. It was one of those things where in the 80s, it was the right guy with the right gimmick performing it in the right way. You know, at the right time. Like, it was all that stuff. It was, I mean, it's not the most terribly original gimmick. He was a vain guy who's French Canadian and therefore the Muttle, and
Well, Tyler Breeze, again, same thing. Now even he came out and said in his vignettes, "Yes, I am a model."
Exactly.
And that was Rick Martel's catchphrases. Yeah, exactly. Yes, I am.
Exactly. Right. And I think Rick Martel, a big part of his act was arrogance.
He had the big button on his coat that said, yes, that's I am right, a model. That's right.
But
and yes, arrogance, the cologne that he had.
Yes, his cologne that was his brand. Arrogance, which he would use to spray in his opponent's eyes and blind them and would lead to quite a few. Famous. With Jake Roberts, the most famous one, I suppose.
The blindfold match at WrestleMania 7.
So, awful match, but those matches always are.
Well, you couldn't. I mean, at least the blindfold stayed on and it wasn't in a cage.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But
first ever, the debut of Fire Russo was during that match.
Was it? Was that before the Fire Russo in TNA when they did that match between Storm and?
No, that's what I'm talking about. That cage match with that caged blindfold match was the debut of Fire.
Yeah, because that was Storm and Chris Harris after the America's Most Wanted broke up. But I thought actually the first time was during an Abyss Sting segment when they had like. A casket rolling down and all that shit.
Oh, that was, you had to lift your, yes. I think that you may have, yeah, you may be right with that, actually, yes.
But either way, those were among the first times.
Fuck Russo. But Ricky Martel, though, just to kind of close off on him, and hopefully we're answering the question and giving some detail, but he would come on, he would actually, he would stick around for.
Hope it's working.
This really is off the top of our
heads. Hope it works for you.
He really did, my memory of him is really that he kind of stuck around for a while, and even, like, you think of that battle royal for the Intercontinental title, where the last two would have to fight when Razor Ramon won the Intercontinental title, and Shawn Michaels did one of his quote-unquote vacations of the belt.
He was around in WWF at the time as the model for years, and never a jobber, I mean, never quite. Like, he would get the occasional tag or championship match. He actually had a series when Bret Hart first won the IC belt. Series of really good matches as the top contender for the IC belt back when it meant something against Bret Hart. But he never got a title again. And then, of course, he ended up his career in kind of a, forgettable run over in WCW where they brought him.
Don't you fucking dare.
They tried to turn him babyface and...
No, the first thing, just so he leaves WWF, right, and then he actually goes on the independent scene as in a tag team called the Supermodels. It was Rick Martel and his partner that he was mentoring was Don Callis, Cyrus was in the Jackal. And the human oddities for those, but that's what he was doing. He was trying to get back into WWF. As this tag team, the Supermodels. And that ended up fading. But then, Rick Martel come back into WCW. Short but extremely successful run in WCW with the TV title. Three-way feuds with him, Booker T, and Perry Saturn. I remember watching Rick Martel in like whatever it was, January of 98, for the TV title with those guys. And just awesome matches.
Okay, here's
like,
the thing. You say, but the thing is, of those three guys, he's the least over. Like, he never got over there.
Well, no, it doesn't matter. Like,
as far as matches are concerned, yeah. And there was some vignette backstage where he went through a glass door or something like that. And fact was, the reason it's forgettable is just that, is that as a babyface after being Rick the Model, despite his ability to work and whatever, he just wasn't seen as a star by the crowd. At the level of guys that they were now seeing, and he never really got over. So it was pretty short.
It was definitely short, but like I said, I thought it was tremendous. I just remember it being hugely short-lived but hugely successful comeback in that Rick Martel was on fire with his work. And his matches with Booker T and Saturn were great.
Well, the thing is, I remember definitely cheering for him, wanting to see him have one last good run. But
And I thought, as I said, I didn't go in cheering for him again. He was to me just another oh shit. This is like Marty Jannetty. They're fucking
actually it might have been Marty Jannetty that was thrown through the glass backstage.
Yeah, they don't bring anybody that was in WWF fucking back. That was my initial thing, and then I was watching. Goes now, I'm like, fuck, he's. Yeah, Mr. Beat It All. I mean, and it was for the TV title, yeah, right? So true. It's not like that's he was, true. Like, you know, going after Goldberg or nothing. It was just like, fuck, yeah, good on you.
So anyways, that's who the Rick Model Martel is. Kind of somebody most famous for a very famous, like you say, the jacket, the button, the arrogance, the sunglasses, the puffed, permed hair, mullet hair, and the looks and the accent. And it's just the act. One of those successful, you know, acts from that era. Just probably a little post-rock and wrestling, but kind of coming right on the heels of that in that era. One of the more successful acts, upper mid-card occasionally, generally mid-card act.
Yeah, let's say, I mean, the Model probably started about 1989 and, you know, would wrap up in WWF probably early 94. Yeah. So you give yourself about a five-year run as a Model and say about a three-year run as Rick Martel, you know, that late 86 kind of thing with Can-Ams. Yep. And, you know, so decent. I mean, hell, that's a, you know, that's a 7 or 8 year run in WWF.
Yeah, no, it's,
right?
it's so, a definitely. And again, very much solid worker. And one of those guys that – it was one of the advantages of that era, that he was a guy who was established as his gimmick. And because you would have him win his squash matches and he would win occasionally against guys and lose occasionally. But it wasn't even Stephen booking. It was just, you know, depending on where they were placed in the card. You could shove him around and you could put him in 100 feuds. And every time – it's like, okay, Jake, and then he'll go on to Bret Hart. Then he'll go on to Shawn Michaels. And he just –
Randy Savage.
They just put him around the loop with all the baby faces that were established. And that's what they were able to do better back then, was because they didn't have to fill all the TV, so therefore you blow out all the matches. It's like, okay, you put him against this guy, they'll go on a 3 or 4 month tour occasionally on TV, you blow it off in Saturday Night's Main Event, you move him on to the next guy coming up right off of his feud, and fresh matchup every time, established characters. And so it's always interesting. Yeah, that works, right? So
it does. And I mean, I'll just go. I mean, as I said, it's an 8 year run with WWF. I'll go and I'll predict 8 times longer than Tyler Breeze will.
I don't know. I'm just looking at him on the TV. I missed a couple weeks ago when his debut was. Obviously, like I say, it's an established gimmick. I mean, the phone thing, I guess, is a little original. But he doesn't look too big. I don't know how talented in the ring he is. The funny thing is, Rick the Model somehow, even though you knew it was ridiculous because he was Rick Martel for years already, you could buy him as a model. This guy doesn't look like a model at all. This guy's not.
No, I know.
He doesn't have that, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. So
back to TNA. Chico Ortiz. Oh. Go.
Yeah, the Huntington Beach bad boy. Chico Ortiz makes his return to TNA. He was a special guest referee for a Jeff Jarrett, AJ Styles match on something, pay-per-view or TV or fucking something. In the earlier days.
I snorted. You made me laugh with fucking something.
But
wasn't it AJ, or was it Jeff Jarrett against Kevin Nash? Wasn't that it? And that's where Nash had... Was Nash supposed to lose?
No, it was AJ, because I think AJ was a heel maybe and lost the title when Chico punched him out. It was around when AJ was managed by Russo.
Oh, I remember him being back one other time as a referee and just towering over AJ, though, I thought. I thought this was about the time when they first got on Spike. He made an appearance real quick.
It could have.
But yeah, he was just so much bigger than, you know, like one of their light heavyweights. He's just bigger than huge compared to one of your regular stars, and it just looked really strange, you know.
I mean, Ortiz, here we go again with, you know, just he shows up on TV and you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't actually care is the big thing. That's my big takeaway is Tito Ortiz is on my television. Who gives a fuck? I mean, you got a guy.
I gotta say, they did get more buzz for this and for a lot of things they do. Like there was, you know, I mean, people were talking about it on Twitter and message boards and these different things. Wrestling fans were. I mean, they weren't necessarily talking about it in a positive way.
That's what I mean, yeah. So the people that, watch wrestling and know new people were shitting on it, so they won't care to watch it. Good job, guys.
It's just, again, he's not going to be cheap. It's in relation to the Bellator pay-per-view match that he's having with Rampage.
That's all this is a cross-promotion. And from a company perspective, the only positive is, again, they're playing nice with Spike.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's...
That's the
does
only
it matter
positive.
To have him? No, because why? It's not a TNA pay-per-view. And it's not for build TNA match. It's not going to build ratings.
It is. It's going to build a TNA match. Yes, it is. At Bound for Glory.
Between who?
It is. I don't know, like a tag match.
Nobody's going to give a fuck about that.
I didn't say they were going to give a fuck about it. That's what I've actually said the opposite. That no one's going to give
point.
A fuck about it. But that's what it's doing. Is you're probably going
to
have your
well,
your
the thing
Chico
is, it doesn't matter to build that match the only to tell you the truth, it would actually be more to them to build a match on Spike TV to try and see if they get a rating out of it because people might watch it for free, but there's no fucking way they're paying for it.
Well, it's not going to be your main match, right? I mean, it's just going to be another Bound for Glory add-on, right? That's it. So
they might think it's their main match.
I mean, Tito, can he talk? Probably.
I suspect his finisher will be the headbutt.
I have a feeling his, well, that's the other thing, is it? I mean, these are guys, him and Rampage both, not like King Mo, that have zero desire to work.
Yeah.
Or to learn how to work. They'll work if you go in and wrestle. Okay, I could go in and wrestle. You want to learn how? No.
No.
Like, that's, that's it. So, I mean... you're not going to get a match. You're not going to get any length of, any kind of quality out of them in the ring at all. This basically, as you said, Bound for Glory is going to be with, what is it going to be, 2 to 3 weeks before the November, whatever it's going to be, 7th or something, Bellator pay-per-view that's going to have Chico and Rampage. That's your other thing. I mean, are they going to bring them in to get hurt?
Well, no.
On a TNA pay-per-view that 8 people are going to buy? Probably more people will buy the team Bound for Glory than
they'll
fucking buy.
It is the same idea as Dennis Rodman and Carl Malone, right? Where the other guys will carry the match and they'll just be there for the occasional spots, right? So this is actually quite safe, but, whatever. Like you said.
And it's funny that you mentioned it. The leading candidates to team with Rampage and Ortiz are Hulk Hogan and DDP.
To carry the match. I wonder whose back is in worse shape, Tito Ortiz's or Hulk Hogan's?
Well, and that's where I was going with it. When you're bringing in this guy who can't wrestle, never wrestled, is just as hurt as Hogan.
Yeah.
Like, literally, is just as hurt as Hulk Hogan. So, I mean,
yeah, he's only 37, but he's just as hurt as Hulk Hogan.
You have Spike synergy.
Yeah.
That they like, and you're playing nice, and that's going to keep the company in business, essentially. And that's, again, that's your positive. That's why you do it. You're basically Spike TV's bitch.
But that's not the only reason they do it. These people are also enough in a bubble that they think this is going to work. They think this is going to garner interest. They think this is going to create buzz and help ratings. They do believe that. And that's one of the reasons why they do the August 1st warning bullshit. Because they're stuck in 1996.
And again, here we are with this August 1st bullshit, and we talked about it. It went on, 2 days before. There were, 4 videos or something. It's like,
on your website and on Twitter, they're tweeting it out, and who cares? And they told the performers to tweet it out, and it doesn't matter. Because it's not 1996. You're not going to get people going, who is it? Who's going to be the guy? Nowadays, you're better off promoting a person and getting over who he is and his accomplishments and his personality than the surprises. That worked in 1996. It was a different era. But they're stuck there.
Exactly. In 1996, 1997, that era, I mean, I'll use the example, Rick Rude showed up in Raw and Nitro. Yeah. You didn't know who was going to be coming on what show when. X-Pac jumps over, Jeff Jarrett jumps over, Bulldog jumps over. Like, all these Bret Hart, all these guys, you didn't know who was going to show up on what show. You know, there was that ability to get people talking. But you're right. It's not that time. Now it's okay, especially a guy like Tito Ortiz. Especially a guy that people would know in Tito Ortiz. You could get a rating, like you said, out of it by promoting what's Tito Ortiz going to do. They got a little bit of a rating for Rampage, exactly. Right? Because they promoted it.
Exactly. And they will. I mean, you'll get a little bit of a rating. And that's what you got to do because we've seen them do this with Kurt Angle, Booker T, Christian, over and over and over, this mystery. Who is it going to be? And they show up, and guess what? It's not as effective as you wish it'd be, because what you're actually not doing is, you're promoting in a way that worked in a different era.
The Christian and Kurt Angles, though, those were good.
They were good as far as it was exciting.
They worked in terms of the surprise factor, especially Kurt. The surprise
Kurt worked
factor.
As a surprise, yeah.
And so did Christian.
Well, I think we knew Christian was going there, but it was still like, holy fuck, this is actually happening. This may be the start of a war, but it wasn't. That was different.
Well, this may be Christian's break to show it good. Again, it wasn't, yeah. But there was a thing there. But in terms of this,
they've
this
done it
Chico,
a million times
I mean,
since
you got to remember,
they did it with Taz for fuck's sakes.
Eric Bischoff is the head of creative now, right? Dave Lagana and Matt Conway are the ones doing the writing, but they're all going. This is all coming from Eric Bischoff, who
had his biggest
success
in 1996.
That's why I was only half kidding when I said the candidates are DDP and Hogan, because he very well fucking could be. Although DDP is playing nice with WWE, so I mean he's ain't touching TNA with a 10-foot pole, but still, it's
not talk about
you
my
know,
penis.
DDP? Diamond Dallas Penis? But, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't see any TNA upside to Tito Ortiz. No. I will not be captivated by him. I don't need to watch him. I don't care that he is there. It's just neat. No. Right?
And again, it comes back to, we talk about... Bischoff being in charge of creative comes back to the same idea. You're stuck in 1996, or you're thinking short term, you're thinking pop, you're thinking let's create some momentum, and you're not willing to invest long term in the things you have to do to get your product over. And of course, at this point, you can't get your product over past what it is. Like, TNA has reached its level.
What it is it's a second-rate wrestling company being used to promote the second-rate MMA company.
And that's the way it's seen by fans. Now, there is a way
exactly.
that they could
It's not even that's the way it's seen by fans.
That's true. That's also the way
it is. It is what it is, right?
So. That said, there is something that could maybe help them get a little more. Let's talk WWE financials.
Okay.
This is more your thing. So you saw the WWE financials, and you're basically like, it's the shits. That's what we expected. Go ahead. Fill everybody in a little bit on what went on here.
I remember having the conversation 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago probably with you when we talked about Vince McMahon coming on and talking about how they're going to spend money, right? They're not going to hold as much cash, right? Like the cash in the coffers, we called it, and that they're going to spend this money.
They had $300 million at the time.
And essentially that's what they're going to go out and that's what they've gone out and done with both the combination. They're still fucking putting money in this network. You know, funny how we haven't heard fuck all about it, but they're putting money
in. We did a vote. Remember, we did a vote to decide what the TV show would be called. Remember that? We did that vote 2 years ago. Remember?
Yes, that's true. That's true. The Legends House. Yeah. Yes. And now they've got the developmental training facility. And they really have put a lot of money into that and into developmental, to the point where the actual cash that they've got on hand is the lowest it's been in 14 years. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's basically since they've become a publicly traded company, essentially, it's the lowest amount of actual cash they've had. Now, that said, if you talk about their year over year profit, I mean, the money they took in was $152 million. Mm-hmm. Like 100 in the quarter. Mm-hmm. $152 million in the quarter. And last year they did $141 mm-hmm. million. So that's up. Took in more money. Well, profit was half. Profit was $5 million for the quarter, where last year it was like 12. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's really below even the most negative person's projections, essentially. And even to the point where, what's his name there, the guy that does the George Barrio, or Barris, or whatever his name is, they're financially guy.
Okay.
The guy that does the
whatever fucker. The fuck is
chief financial officer.
That, you just call him that fucker.
Yeah, George Barrios. Chief financial officer George Barrios. That there fucker. Is that fucker. So basically the fucker said that, you know, they're probably not going to make their own expectations of what they had said. So, I mean, actual money. Okay, here it is. Actual money figuring into the books. The company is down $22 million for the first 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Profits or income?
Well, that's a loss. That's a loss. Mm-hmm. Like, they have $22 million less now than they did, say, in January mm-hmm. in the company. So they're spending the fucking money. Part of that's the dividend as well. You know, that's been cut, but is still, you know, being paid. So, I mean, this, okay, here it is again. This time last year, they were up $3.8 million in terms of actual money. So,
but that's because they've invested in the infrastructure, which isn't a bad thing.
It's not. But the company is not making money right now. That's the point. Mm-hmm. This is not a profitable company. It's not making money.
But the question
money.
Is, are the things they're doing... Will it allow for a profitable company? Like, the question isn't whether or not they're going to be in business right now. The question is, are they going to be losing money 3 years from now, 5 years from now?
I don't expect this trend to continue, and it's quite, I mean, as I said, I mean, the fact that they're down $22 million, like, you know, and again, they took in 152
yeah.
in a quarter, right? So they've probably taken in, like, $250 million this year, right? So... You talk about the water coolers coming out of Titan Towers. Not at that point yet. All I'm saying is that they're spending more money than they're bringing in, and that's what Vince had said 2.5 years ago that they were going to do. Now, I think to this point where you hear a lot of this negative stuff, and I mean, quite frankly, it's not good. I mean, the fact that they're not profiting isn't necessarily a good thing. But where you look at, like you said, where are they putting the money? They spent a lot. It's majority of this is going into developmental, mm-hmm. right? And that has to be considered a good thing,
yes.
right? I mean, so it looks bad, I guess. Like, if you took WrestleMania out, they would have lost $9 million mm-hmm. in the quarter.
But why would you take WrestleMania out to have that to make them money every year?
No, I'm just saying that, like, because this quarter won't have WrestleMania. Yeah. And so, if all
then
things
again,
continue
will this
to
quarter,
be...
will they be investing as much into the network and the developmental as they did in the previous quarter?
The training, I would think so, probably, this quarter, yeah, because the training facility opened this mm-hmm. quarter, right? So, because, I mean, we talk
about
the quarter,
anymore.
I don't know.
They have, you know, the building is there.
Yeah, but they're doing those... But they're putting the final shit in, which is usually the expensive stuff, yeah. right? So, I mean, I could see it being about the same, quite mm-hmm. frankly. So, I mean, again, that's all I'm looking at is that they're okay. Yeah, so their cash assets are now $120 million, mm-hmm. right? And they have like no debt. Well, they have minimal debt, right? But so basically, they've gone from when we talked about it, like you said, $300 million. Now, here we are, 2.5 years later, they got $120 million, right? So, I guess the big question in this is going to be, when does it turn around, and when do they stop spending the money?
Because, well, also, what causes the turnaround? Because, again, we come back to, for a long time, one of the things that was really, really helping them, that was a real... you know, financial boon for them was, for instance, the DVD and Blu-ray sales and that type of thing, and that's gone essentially, right? And it's just people aren't buying that anymore, I know. Right? Same yeah. thing. I mean, pay-per-views are down. So, I mean, you don't have that. That becomes less and less financially profitable to you. So you have to replace these. So, you know, I mean, what replaces these? I mean, video game licensing is not going to go up. You know, sales on the website will probably stay about the same, merchandising and that type of thing. House show business, I think, was good this quarter, mm-hmm. wasn't it?
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, I don't know if you can really count on that month. So they have to find a way to replace the income that they're losing from pay-per-views and you know, that type of thing. Now, a lot of that, of course, is they want more money from television. That's where the network comes in. That's why they're investing in it. That's why they put so much of their future into it. Who knows if it'll ever get off the ground.
Well, that's what scares me, exactly, is that they're putting all this in, and it looks like, I mean, when I look at these numbers, and I just look at them, and I haven't analyzed them, but when I'm looking at this, and I see that they go from $300 million to $120 million, and so they've spent $180 million in 2 years, you know, if they continue this up, or even slow it down slightly, you know, you got another, let's say, 2.5 years, and you're back on par again, and now you have to make a profit, because you don't have any money on reserve.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got that amount of time to do it. And if they're putting all their eggs into this network basket, I mean, we all know how the WBF network is going to be. Like, this thing is a bust.
Yeah.
We'll just say that it defies the odds it gets off the ground. It's 2014.
Sorry.
Yeah. Right? At the earliest, when they get off the ground with, in 2014, a television station.
Yeah.
You know, this
isn't a subscription station, again. You know, they're hoping to...
Yeah, but a television station, not a something you can go onto your PlayStation or Xbox and get on demand.
Which is the future,
again. Or like a Netflix-y kind of thing. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Is it? It's kind of like, right, it would be like, you know, 10 years ago, WWE... getting their own radio station.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
really
maybe 15 years ago, but still, I mean, that's what it is. It's the exact equivalent. So they're already missing out by delaying this on probably the last
peak years.
I
really wonder if this is where Shane McMahon could have helped, because he was the one who was said to have been the guy who was more up to date with trends and understanding, you know, and seeing the future and that type of thing, you know. Maybe his ideas for booking characters and those type of ideas weren't so good. But this is where he was said to be good, right? I do wonder if they miss him on this type of thing.
Well, I don't even wonder. Of course they do, because, I mean, look where he is now. I mean, he's put pay-per-view into China, right? And that's a technological haven there. Mm-hmm. And a market that you're going to have that ability. So, I mean, that tells me that he's right on, not only say the pulse of American trending, but he's on the pulse of these
things.
He
was always the one who was like, okay, you know, UFC is about to trend upwards. We can do this. He was the guy who could see, okay, this is what's trending now. This is what's going to come. He was the guy who was able to, he was that way. He was the guy who was, you know, and they don't seem to have that guy.
Does he? No, they don't. And does he develop? I mean, would have Shane McMahon been the guy that could have figured out the way to successfully done an iPay-per-view?
Possibly.
You know, get on that technology. Because I really still, and I mean, this is, you know, past doesn't equal the future kind of thing. But you look at sort of the past trends in wrestling, and whatever happened in Japan is sort of you kind of move ahead a few years.
Japan's always, as far as trends of what takes off in North America, what was popular in Japan 3 years before is usually what becomes popular 3 years later in North America.
Yeah. So. And what are they making? And what are they making work right now? The iPay.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
You know, different culture as well, but that's they're making those things work. So, I mean, do I look now at 3, 4 years, 5 years from now, and that becomes, you know, especially when be able to these Roku boxes and these Apple TVs and the ability to get stuff like that onto your television. you know, and stream it on there. Is that the way you do it?
No, well, it is. You know, it is, absolutely. I mean,
when no one's been able to figure out the technology yet in North America, these ROHs and all the WrestleMania weekends.
When Xbox One comes out, if you can't successfully find a way to use that, which is going to be in so many homes and going to be so hooked up and user-friendly, designed exactly for this type of distribution, if you can't find a way to use that financially to yourself, you're not really – you really don't deserve to be in business.
Wasn't that PlayStation 4 supposed to do the same thing?
The PlayStation 4 will do the same thing, but it will require – it's a little bit different. It's PlayStation 4 is more of a gaming center, and Xbox One is more of a home multimedia center. So as far as – they both have all the capabilities, but Xbox One will be a little more geared towards this, especially right out of the box, whereas PlayStation will have to buy things like their camera and that type of thing to, you know. But we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how all that shakes down.
See, I always heard that Xbox sucks.
No, that's X-Pac. X-Pac.
Oh, Pac.
Pac sucks.
Pac sucker.
X-Pac sucks.
X-Pac sucker.
All right, well, then let's get on to this part then. They're losing – how much are they projecting to lose over four quarters then this year, over the in all of 2013 then? What are we looking at maybe?
Well, again, trend continues to take Mania out. They're down $22 million now, right? So, I mean, we're halfway through the year. Okay. So
44.
Let's say 44 now, million.
Now, in 2014, they have licensing fees coming up for SmackDown and Raw. They will increase, I'm sure, the licensing fees they're getting. They're getting $40 million right now. Maybe they'll get $55 million per show, so that's an extra $30 million. Is that enough then to stop the bleeding?
Well, I mean, how much are they?
I mean, I assume that okay, so now what are we looking at? Looking at their million per show
per year.
What's that?
Yes, per year.
Not per year. No, if they're making $40 million a year right now off Raw, they'll probably get to 55. Okay. And if they're making about 35, I think on SmackDown, so maybe they'll get to 50.
Okay, so you're saying an extra $30 million more in the year from television.
Yeah, and starting in 2014, when that, which isn't that far away, then, I mean, maybe that stops the bleeding. You cut a cost on a few other things. And the scary thing is that when we're talking about this and they're doing their losses, you have to keep in mind, relative to other entertainment industries and other sports, both entertainment or sports, their performers are not highly paid. I mean, the very top stars make a lot, and the middle and bottom guys make a lot compared to the guy who's, you know, slugging gas for a living. But as far as relatively speaking, they're not. If they were to ever unionize, I mean, this would be a very different factor, too.
Well, yes, that's
this
true.
This would really fuck things up, which is why they're so afraid of it. But they really, I mean, their guys really relatively are low paid and, you know, probably always will be, to the nature of everything, without a union.
Yeah, so they actually get $40 million each.
Okay, $40
million.
Show,
Raw and SmackDown. Okay. So,
let's say we add up to $55 million each. So that's an extra $30 million. If you're saying they're going to use 44, but that's not including, you know, other factors. I mean, that to me means you basically be even now, right?
Yeah, and I think that's fine. So you start to make some money. Like, so I'm not
think they can get that? Do you think they can get about $55 million per?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see. I mean, even if they got, even if you said 50, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not. Again, you've now started up your developmental training facility, so you don't have to do that again. Mm-hmm. I would presume the costs of the network are lesser and lesser as you go.
I don't know about that. I mean, it's a near launch,
Well,
but then again, they have to near launch.
I guess advertising.
Do they even need to? But I mean, my thing is, if they make an extra $30 million a year in licensing fees, if they bring in $15 million each more from each show, or even $20 million more from, or $10 million more, you know, is that enough that they don't need to get the network off the ground? Is that enough if they stop that spending, that they now turn a profit again?
I tell you what's going
to really, that's what it comes down to then is, can they get out of USA and Sci-Fi or whoever they're with, can they get that, you know, and there will be a few but not many other networks that may be interested in them. A few, very few, but there might be some. Can they get that extra 10, 15 million? I know Vince McMahon is saying double. He's saying 80, and that's stupid. But they might be able to get an extra 10 or 15.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think really what's going to turn the corner and what's going to gross them that $100 million is that movie Yabba Dabba Doo. Yeah.
But again, if all of the revenue streams go down, it's not enough. But if all of the revenue streams, if pay-per-view can now stay at the same level, house shows, everything else, then that's the key. So that's where all of this is just speculation until we find out what those deals are. And we find out how badly does USA want them? How badly does Sci-Fi want them? You know, if a smaller network wants them, but will pay them more, is that worth it for them? Is that something they need to consider, or would that be a mistake? If they do go to a smaller network, would say, I mean, I don't know how many cable networks there are in the States, but say they went to a smaller network that's in 50% of the homes they're in right now. Does that mean that all of a sudden TNA, that's what TNA has to hold on to say, okay, now you're there in 50% of the less of the homes, 50% of the people who are watching before can no longer watch the product. Maybe we'll get 10 or 15% of those people discovering us. I mean, so there's a lot of factors to weigh in here.
There's factors, but I mean, the reality of when we talk about our house shows and pay-per-views and da-da-da-da, it's all about, again, what they put on the television. And you talk about half the people watching Raw, maybe, and so do some of the people check out Spike and da-da-da. Yeah, but if TNA sucks my wiener, it doesn't matter if there's
but TNA
10
doesn't
people.
Suck your wiener, though. I mean, okay, then.
Sometimes it does.
I mean, more often than not, over the last couple of years, their television product has been more consistent than WWE's.
That's right.
You know, I mean, yeah, okay, they might misfire with something like Chico Ortiz, but they're still going to give me AJ Styles versus Austin Aries in an incredible match, and they're still going to give me, you know, a lot of, you know,
that's true.
The bad influence and the good acts like that. So,
but what we talked about though a few weeks ago, or maybe a month ago now, is that I am more confident, or I am more forward-thinking, looking forward to the future of WWE more than I'm looking forward to the future of TNA.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean,
because
you know, that's what
I mean, that's for sure, yeah.
And, I mean, one of the Bray Wyatt, right? I mean, did you watch NXT last week?
I saw the Bray Wyatt say goodbye to a massive baby face reaction.
That was awesome.
He cut a babyface promo, which made me immediately go, fuck this guy with this character as a babyface and not changing a thing will work. Because I was skeptical.
Yeah.
I thought that this character was only could only work as a heel. I watched this. Yeah. I went, no, this will work as a babyface too. And it'll be huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be good. Bray Wyatt against Kane in a Ring of Fire match.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Which means the first man to lose all their hockey games wins.
Going down, down, down the ring of fire.
And your mom climbs higher.
Oh, my mom's a saint.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sorry, you started to cut out there on the Skype. Did you say slut?
So anyways.
But yes, Bray Wyatt against Kane. Kane is going to go film See No Evil 2.
So yeah, he's going to lose the... by the Sorka twins. I've seen both of their movies they've done. American Maybe, coincidentally. And Dead Hooker in a Trunk was their film debut. They're Vancouver-based, early 20s. Hot.
Dead Hooker in a Trunk?
Hot, early...
What was their other movie? Midget in a Trash Can?
Dead Hooker in a Trunk and American Mary. They're young, hot, like, horror Canadian twins. The Twisted Twins, they're called. This will be interesting. Okay. But does that mean Kane loses the mask again? Hopefully.
I hope, yeah. I guess Bray Wyatt could steal the mask.
Yeah, why not?
Right?
Sure. End of the match. I have to presume he's going over. I have to presume.
Bray Wyatt?
Yeah, I have to presume the Wyatt family manages to get involved anyways. And yeah, but I mean, well, it's interesting. We haven't seen an Inferno match in how many years? It's 8, 9 years.
Oh, God, when was it? Was it Ken Kennedy or MVP rather against
Kane?
MVP,
yeah.
MVP against
Kane? I don't know how many years.
Yeah, that would have been like, 2005, then maybe December 05.
Something like that.
Early 06, something like that. Yeah, so.
And that was a SmackDown, wasn't it? Or was it a pay per view?
It was a SmackDown match, I'm pretty sure.
So.
Yeah.
And before that, it had been a while, too. And of course, then it were called Inferno Match. It's a Ring of Fire. It doesn't really matter. Same thing.
Same thing.
It's one of those matches that's not good action, but it is visually very interesting. I did like when Kane announced it, how Bray Wyatt laughed, how he had that evil, like he wasn't afraid. And I thought, okay, that's it. That's the right tactic. But again, they'll have to get over the actual gimmick now to people so they understand what it is to make it a selling point.
Well, yes. And I mean, they've got, is it just one more show to go?
Yeah,
it's
one more.
Yeah, so that's they're going to have to sell it on the go-home here.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It doesn't sound like they did too much on SmackDown. No. I mean, it's sort of limited spoilers, but...
one of the things actually that's kind of interesting is that... I mean, we thought we knew a lot of the matches, and then they're not happening. And so, like, we've known for a long time, you know. I mean, Christian, now a couple weeks or whatever, right? Christian Del Rio. You know, we've known... you know, obviously the Punk and the Beast versus the Best, Punk and Lesnar, and the Daniel Bryan and John Cena, but Cody and Damian Sandow is now being announced. They need to. Cody's in ring style works as a babyface. They need to change his look to be a babyface, and his cadence when delivering his promos.
Yes, that's true.
Those are the two things. If he comes out in an expensive suit, he's not going to be a babyface. The way he does, you know, they need to make him more relatable, and that's why I think he's not getting over as a babyface so far. But again, you got Big E and AJ versus Ziggler and Caitlin.
Yeah, we speculated that seemed to be where they were going was a mixed tag,
right?
Yeah,
stupid, but that's where they're going.
Well, it's stupid, but the fact is that they've done Dolph and Big E like 8 times already now.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. That's why it's stupid.
You know? Yeah.
Again, you've got... we don't know now that Show and Henry versus The Shield doesn't look like it's happening. Looks now like Henry versus Ryback. To no buys, and they're just dropping the whole thing with the Shield, or maybe they'll get involved in the match and give Ryback the win.
Again, they've traded wins, and I mean, so I don't know. I mean, the Big Show is cleared now, but wasn't cleared over the weekend, and so they may do something for Raw, this Monday. But
Curtis Axel still doesn't have a match.
I assumed that him and like the Miz or
no,
him
not
and
the Miz, obviously.
RBD or
the Miz
something
is busy booking matches because he's the host.
All right, he's the host. Okay, so
hey, remember when the Rock was the host?
Fucking R-Truth.
I think he booked matches too.
I think so. I don't know.
It sucks.
It does.
Yeah, but Curtis Axel at this point doesn't have anything.
Remember
Randy
when Bob
Orton doesn't
Barker
have anything? Like
host?
We say, Shield doesn't have anything. Remember when, did you say, what was that? Remember Bob Orton, what?
Barker.
Bob Barker. Yeah.
Was the host. Yeah. You know who should be the host? Bob Uecker.
Fucking right. Fucking Bob Uecker.
Yeah. Bob Uecker. Fuck. But I think you probably put in R-Truth against Axel or some fucker against Axel.
Curtis,
in
I
the,
think Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, there you go. Kofi and Kurt in the pre-show.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't have any momentum. It doesn't help that they were going for a couple weeks, for 2 weeks straight, they did John Cena, Daniel Bryan right, and then for 2 weeks straight here, they've done John Cena, Daniel Bryan wrong. I mean, Brock and Punk is awesome. And Heyman, that's awesome. And Brock Lesnar cutting a promo in the back is awesome.
Yeah, oh yeah, when he did his promo and then he said, he just looked right in the camera and said, say something stupid, Paul.
It was so awesome. And Paul yeah. did.
And then Dave Meltzer asked him a question.
That was a stupid question.
That's a stupid question.
Oh, that was awesome in that conference call. I remember that. It was a Randy Couture conference call a few years ago at yeah. UFC. Didn't he ask him something like, what's your game plan for this? Or how are you preparing for a guy this big? And Couture kind of didn't really answer because he doesn't want to give away his strategy. And Brock goes, yeah, that was a stupid question. he just kind of said it out loud to himself. And it just happened to everybody that heard it.
And that ended the that was like the whole end of the conference call. Dude, it was awesome.
I loved it. Yeah, that was great.
But I was gonna say, yeah. I mean, when I look at Daniel Bryan and John Cena, I mean, stupid makeovery bullshit aside, that was stupid.
Oh God, that segment was died a death.
Yeah, I thought Daniel Bryan's segment about being a wrestler and loving wrestling was because it was a shoot, essentially. I mean, you could believe it. You know what? I thought the delivery and the content and everything in a promo came along great, that part of it. I thought, that's great. That's like but that was just like a 2-minute diamond in like a 25-minute piece of shit.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and then, to the credit, John Cena coming back and his retort to it, again, I thought was fine in terms of, you say I'll go home and I'll retire. I will retire because the WWE is the big leagues and I'll always be in the WWE anywhere.
Again, his promo went on too long. And the other thing was, I thought his delivery was pretty good, but the problem is at the end of the day, he's boring.
That was awesome.
Boring. But that is exactly it. Even if what he's saying is the right thing to say, it's boring because he's boring because he's John Cena. And
I liked his promo back, and I
like
that.
What's interesting to me is it's the same thing as what they were doing with The Rock versus John Cena. It's that same thing. He's the movie star. He thinks he's above all this. I'm the blue collar guy. I'm the WWE guy. Now it's I'm the blue collar wrestler. He thinks he's above wrestling. It's the same idea. Just take out Hollywood and WWE and replace.
Well, you're the entertainer and I'm the wrestler and da da da. It's the same thing. And it's fine. I mean,
but it's actually that's interesting to me that John Cena is now playing the other end.
The thing is that he's used to that, but it's true. But the part is that there's that nugget
and pulling.
There's a glimmer of truth in what each man is saying, and that's what made it effective. That's all I'm saying is that's what made him effective. I did giggle my ass off.
Doesn't matter. Then Randy Orton comes out, and I'm telling you, it's not working the way they want it to. They're still confusing the audience.
Well, they are. Yes, I liked the fact that they're trying to get him to chant "You can't wrestle," and like 8 people do, and Cena goes, "If you can't hear them, they're saying you can't wrestle." I'm like, "Yeah, why can't we hear them?"
Yeah,
because there's only 8 of them, and at first I'm thinking like, "Oh, maybe they're just mic'd shitty," you know, the crowd's just mic'd shitty,
and the crowd was shitty.
A minute and a half later, boring came in, audible as all hell because there were like 8,000
people not your
chanting
monkeys.
That.
We're not your dancing monkeys. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, until Fandango comes out.
Well, it's funny. When Fandango's music hit this time, like the crowd popped. Like as soon as his music hit, the crowd goes, eh. And then it's like everyone went, wait a second. Oh, yeah, it's Fandango. I forgot Fandango was just Fandango now. It's like they were going to be excited. Hey, it's Fandango. Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, yeah. I remember now. Now he sucks. So, yeah.
Yeah. But Fandango gets to pick the girls that he dances with. It's a different one in each city.
What about Summer Rae?
Oh, no. Total Divas.
What?
Total Divas. Wrestling's new hottest show. 14% bump in the ratings week two? 1.52 million yeah. people watching?
Well, what happened was you had 3 million people watch it the week before, and now you got 50% of that. But because you aired it twice before, you had 14%. So essentially you're losing majority of the people who watched it, just like you'll be down to 1.1 million next week, and then down to like 600,000 in a few weeks.
I just think you judge a time slot over time slot and wait to see.
No, that's
there.
Not true. That's exactly what happened.
That is actually
they got
that's 14%,
completely true. They got 14% bump because they had an extra 1.5 million people watch it right after Raw, and they were able to retain a very small percentage of that.
How did they get a 14% bump? I'm trying to. Yeah, I'm just looking at it on 2 weeks ago, 1.3 million people watched it on E. And then 1.5 million people watched it on.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah. So we'll see what happens again. It's just a trend. It's the hottest new show in wrestling. It's one of the greatest pieces of cinematic exploits.
It sucked ass. I watched that first episode after talking to you, and it sucked ass.
Did you watch the second episode, though?
No, fuck no. I'm done. Piece of Gus. Shit. I'm done, Gus. Awful.
It really is.
So you love it.
Oh, it makes me
you
giggle.
You watch the Kardashians, too.
No, I've never watched that, actually.
Jersey Shore. But
Jersey Shore I watched. That was a great show. But the thing is that with this Total Divas thing, it's like the whole show was built up to Stephanie McMahon giving...
Say her name right. Have the respect. To say her Eva. Name right. Stephanie McMahon.
Yes. Yes, that bitch. She was going to give her shit. Give Eva Marie shit. And didn't really. And then the show ended.
Wonderful.
What I learned is that John Cena has a water slide. Mm. That's what I learned from Total Divas. But, oh, and that the one that said she worked at Wells Fargo, they kept her character a shoot in this show
drunk?
Because pretty close. And I probably – now, folks, I don't condone hitting women. But if you ever come up to and next to Cameron, that would be okay.
Why? What do you mean?
Just – She's one of those people that you just want to hit, and you've got good reason. Like when the first part of the show was that Brodus yelled at her. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brodus should have sat on her, and I don't even know what she did. When she said, "Our outfit is thebomb.com," I was like, oh, I'm just going to hit you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just going to go
to the Look, that's not a good
Royal
excuse. Report. Just because you don't like somebody and you want to hit them doesn't mean it's okay. I've never hit you.
It does. It does.
Okay, I'll hit you next week.
Why?
All right. I don't want to talk about this show anymore. What other news notes was there? There's a bunch more.
How about Ricardo?
What about him?
Well, he comes back from his 30-day wellness suspension, and Alberto Del Rio beats the fuck out of him. So I assume he's done.
From the WWE or just done with Alberto?
I would think both.
I don't think they'll get rid of him.
I don't know. What are they going to do with him? He's not a good worker.
He had the best match with a Sin Cara.
Oh, boy.
No, he's not that bad a worker. He's charismatic. He's good in his role. Likeable.
Well, the thing is
he's more likable than a lot of guys they have. But here's my thing about it. I don't think they should get him rid of him with Ricardo. I think the idea should be every time he fucks up, he gets beat, and he's like a battered wife until the point where he finally does something.
And then we give him like candy cane striped pants for his outfit for his ring gear.
Now he wasn't really beat regularly. He was just insulted.
Yeah, but it's the same thing.
It is the same thing, but whatever. I think the idea that he's like a battered wife, I think you just do that. That's what I do with
him. And then in 20 years, we can get pictures of Ricardo being with no one in line waiting for his autograph. Mm. That'd be excellent.
All by myself.
Please don't sing. Think I'm alone. Let's see here. Sheamus.
What's that? Sheamus got 4 to 6 months.
The Celtic fuck up, yeah, is out 4 to 6 months. So we're looking at maybe, well, I mean, like, he may be back in time for Mania.
You know what? It's actually, I have to say, probably the best thing for him.
To leave,
take 4 to 6 months off, get his body in shape, rest up, get his mind back in shape, and the fans will be more into him because he'd be gone for a while. It's probably actually in a blessing in disguise.
Well, I mean, it's not like he's an integral part of anything they're doing right now. You know, like, it's like they really don't have anything for him. He got lost in that Shield, you know, Randy Orton Big Show kind of deal. And then it's kind of like he's kind of, I don't want to say he's floundered since, but he hasn't really had any.
Damian Sandow, right? Was his.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. This is the best thing that can happen for him. They like him, I'll say, more than they like Mark Henry and Christian. So, you know, in terms of that Mania timing, you know, they last Mania, Christian especially, got kind of the brunt of that, as Wade Barrett has as well, that they miss Mania. You know, they hold him off a little bit longer. Don't think they would do that with Sheamus, because they said they're really high on him, see him as a big star. So,
he is one of their 10 biggest stars.
He is one of their 10 biggest stars. That's true.
He might even be top 8.
Yeah, that's probably. You will be counting like The Rock and Brock and Hunter and shit.
No, I'm talking regular. So, let's go.
But anyway.
Yeah, he's up there.
But, yeah, I mean, am I going to miss Sheamus? No.
But you know what? I might find him as it might be a fresh breath of fresh air when he comes back in 6 months.
He will not.
I don't mind. I like him more than you do, so.
Yeah, it's true. That's true, because you are hoping he comes back. I honestly don't mind. It's just, again, let's get rid of Cena Light and, you know, just go back to be in it. But
they have to get his character right.
Well, the great part is that they've filmed all these 1-800 fella spots, and we've only seen two of them, so that they can save them now, and those can be his return vignettes.
For me.
It does not work for me. The only way it works for me is
they're
if
they're not going to throw them out. So what do you want? Just play
them
anyways?
Won't, but they probably will just play them anyways.
Yeah,
it's like Buddy Rose's blowaway diet. Let's see, what else have Big Show? Mm-hmm. Big Show, yeah, I guess he had a hip procedure done. He's rehabbing a like hip surgery or something. That's what he's needed to be cleared from. But I guess he is cleared, so we'll see. I mean, I assume he's just going to get whatever spot Sheamus has.
Probably, yeah.
So it's good to see him be a babyface again. It's been a while.
So anyways, what you're saying? What else?
What else is there? Did you hear who is now the front runner to main event the Hall of Fame?
No.
Okay. Are you ready? I said, are you ready?
Go ahead.
Okay. They're bringing China. DX, including China, is now set at this point to main event the 2014 Hall of Fame.
And the lineup at China's table, that big lineup, isn't for autographs, it's the gangbanger.
Yeah, but they don't really line up.
I said big lineup.
Yes, that's true. X-Pac does not constitute a big line.
Pornstar China.
That's true.
You know what she's doing right now, right? She's not doing China? Porn anymore. You know what she's doing right now?
Porn?
No, she is literally teaching people in China English.
Yeah. Really? Who's going to teach her?
There's a video of her trying to teach a Chinese girl English, pronouncing things really slowly. It's on YouTube or online. It was like the funniest really? Goddamn thing ever.
Suck it. I was watching, what the hell is I watching? They have that new, on NBC, they have that game show. It's actually on tonight. Mm-hmm. Like Celebrity Game Night or whatever it's called.
I never heard of it.
It's like, I don't know, it's like, kind of, I don't want to say it's a picture.
Who are the anyway, celebrities, I presume, like Ashton Kutcher and Dwayne Rock Johnson and the big celebrities, right? Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's right. It was Tom Arnold. Not even kidding. The guy, one of the guys from like Will and Grace was on it, and I don't know. It's an NBC show, so they get like NBC people. But Stacey Keibler was on it, so it's again very loosely based celebrities here. But notably, just because I said that, sock,
they broke up like a month
that's
ago.
That's true. They did. So, but there was a guy as black guy, Michael Anthony or something like that, or Anthony something. Anyway,
he's dead.
Oh right. No, this guy was on this Guys with Kids, or I forget what the name of the show was. It was a sitcom anyway, and he's on it. And anyway, he like got this answer, and it was like he said he could do it in one word, and he did it. And he got really excited because he stole a point from the other team, and he like jumped off the couch and started doing crotch chops and yelled, "Suck it, suck it, suck it, suck it!" And he kept bleeping. There he is.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It was pretty good, but kind of reminded me of that when Sean went down the ramp.
Suck it.
That
suck
one
it. Time. Went, down here. Suck it. Suck it.
Suck it. Down here. Yeah, down here. Suck it. So, did you hear about what the original WrestleMania main event was going to be?
The Rock versus Brock?
Oh, no. Don't be stupid. What's the real main event of WrestleMania?
Triple H versus somebody?
Yes. Triple H would be the heel in his feud with Vince McMahon, which would lead to Vince McMahon bringing back Stone Cold Steve Austin in a battle for full control of the company.
And Triple H is the heel.
Heel. Yes. Anyway, that's off the books.
Because Stone Cold told them to fuck off?
Stone Cold apparently never even like agreed to this. So... Yeah, but apparently they're not even going to ask him now.
It's still going to be Vince versus. They're obviously building something. Vince versus Hunter, and I guess hopefully Hunter will at least be the baby face, but I don't know.
What's the way it looks now? Because at one point it was that the Vince, Stephanie, and Hunter would end up all together as a heel
against Daniel Bryan,
and then later they'd split and Hunter would go heel.
That's stupid too.
But I guess. I mean, it still seems to be the battle for control at Mania seems to be kind of where they're going, right?
Yeah. What, just so, 900,000 buys?
875.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. You know, we're talking about the WrestleMania didn't do what it was supposed to. It could have done 1.2 million if they had booked it better. So that's how many million out? That's, you know... 150,000 buys is how many millions? They about $4.5 million they probably pissed away.
Yeah.
Should be booking.
Well, yeah, that's end of set. So it all boils into what they present on television. That's how you become a profitable company because then it also helps your house shows in like.
So yeah, when you do shitty build with Undertaker and Punk, and they did a shitty build, and shitty build with Cena and Cena and Rock, and they cost themselves about $4.5 million. Apparently could really use right now.
Not like the good old days. Hey, I watched over the weekend, The Man They Call B was over. And we watched some, like, 1987 wrestling. Mm-hmm. We watched the 1987 Slammy Awards. Mm-hmm. You know who the director of the 1987 Slammy Awards was?
Kevin Dunn?
No. Kay Fabe.
Oh. Oh.
It's the first thing you see is the credits roll. Director, Kay Fabe.
Nice.
I giggled. What else did we watch? We watched some good
shit. I don't
shit.
Care.
Oh, we watched
do we have any more notes Saturday. To talk about? Let's talk about BJ Whitner and that goddamn...
Who?
BJ Whitner and ROH and looking like he was going to be paralyzed from a goddamn pile driver on the ring apron at the side of the ring.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. In other related news, a tree fell in the forest.
Hey, this is more about... you know what we're talking about when Punk put on that... pile driver on Cena. It was so great, and the crowd popped like crazy. And we're saying it should
yes.
be used on occasion. I was thinking back now to the reason why it was taken away. And it wasn't even so much that the guys were injuring each other with it. It was that a 13-year-old kid put a pile driver on his 5-year-old sister and killed her. And
yeah.
that's the reason why Vince gets so goddamn pissed off. Because,
yeah.
you know, even though you can, that's why they do these, you know, don't try this at home now vignettes.
Right.
But
I'm willing to bet more people saw that 13-year-old kid pile drive his sister than saw BJ Whitmer get.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's not about whether or not anybody saw it. It's about whether or not they should be doing it.
If a tree falls,
should they be doing it? What are they even doing it for? You know what? I put this back down to ECW. It's that again. I don't really think it's that you shouldn't be doing a pile driver, even because I mean I look at a move like a superplex or a DDT. Or goddamn a fucking regular body slam. If a 13-year-old does it on a 5-year-old, his 5-year-old sister, he can kill her. So, I mean, I don't think that's the thing. My thing is, if you don't know how to do a pile driver, don't do it. This comes back down to that 80s, or not 80s, sorry, that 90s ECW thing, where and you still see this from a guy like RVD, where it's okay to be sloppy because it makes it look more realistic. So let's be
right.
sloppy because the sloppiness makes it look more realistic and makes it more physical. And no, you
how
know
many
what?
Weeks in a row? How many weeks in a row has CM Punk got stitches?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. God damn it, you're supposed to take care of each other out there.
Well, that's true. It's a work,
exactly.
right?
So that's all I had to say about that.
Okay. Who's BJ Whitmer?
Well, BJ would be your mom. Whitmer? I don't know. Probably the other guy in the room with me with her.
Right. Dad? Hey, what about Ric Flair?
Fuck him. I'm sorry.
Probably gonna sign a new deal
yeah.
with WWE. Yes.
Yeah.
They're in talks. He needs money. Ric needs money. I knew this was coming.
Oh, Rick. I've seen Charlotte on TV.
Oh, yeah. Awful.
She just looks so...
Yeah. She has no look for wrestling.
She has no look for wrestling.
Exactly. She looks like a great volleyball player.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But,
not
a wrestler.
She's not attractive, and yet she's not like a, you know, Nicole Bass... ODB
no.
even type freak. Like, she doesn't have that unique look, so she just looks like this unattractive athlete that's on your TV that you don't want to see.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Ric Flair, you're so...
Oh.
I wish I didn't think of Ric Flair as pathetic, because he deserved more than that, but he's... Talk about Kurt Angle's done it to himself, Ric Flair's done it to himself.
Oh,
and you know, the
yeah.
sisters are doing it for themselves.
Sisters are doing it for themselves. Yeah. We got a Twitter question from our friend Liam.
Oh, fuck, I just hit my... Did you hear that?
I watched it. I kind of heard it.
Cracked my head.
Yeah.
I got my arm caught up in the...
Kill yourself and
sure.
other people, too.
Push it!
And pulling.
I cracked my head. It's okay.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt.
I didn't think so. You hit your head. But I'm looking at our friend Liam.
Who?
That's why you got so excited. You whacked your head because Liam sent us a question. Another question.
Liam needs a work name, too.
That's true. That's true. But this is on Twitter, so that's what I'm
same
going.
Same with that what's his name? Ajam.
Paul?
That's it. He needs to work.
His nickname is AJ. AJ Lee.
All right, so what does Liam want there? Right now, I didn't know Molly Holly had any heat.
Oh, right. No. He would like us to, actually, it's a good question. He'd like us to compare and contrast, if we will, the Wyatt family, if we see any similarities or resemblance to Raven's flock.
Oh, there's definitely similarities there.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see it right from the beginning. Closer to the Raven's flock in WCW, probably, than the Raven's flock in ECW. There's definitely right. something there. But I think it's his own act. I mean, as far as a charismatic leader who has followers, yeah, that's Raven's flock. As far as the personality of the Wyatt family members, they're more in tune with the Wyatt personality than whereas the flock was a bunch of guys with different personalities from Raven who just started following him. And kind of morphed more into him, where these are guys who feel like they've always been with Wyatt. And the personality of Bray Wyatt is better. Actually, I think the act is better. Like, I think, you know, everything about it is better.
Raven.
But the entrance is better, everything.
I think it's about on par, I would say, at this point, Bray Wyatt and Raven. I do agree the entrance is better. But just in terms of the Raven was a great promo in that day.
Yes.
And Bray Wyatt is a great promo in his day. I think Raven was a good worker. Bray Wyatt's a good worker.
Bray Wyatt, I think, has a better look. I never understood the charismatic cult leader in the leather jacket and a Scorpions t-shirt. Or Warrant t-shirt, or Cinderella t-shirt. Like, I never got that. So, I mean, maybe that's...
Well, that was... To me, that was outdated. That was, they said, they even talk about hair bands turning into Nirvana, and now Pearl Jam, and then this become Raven. So Raven, again, with those things, it just out of date.
Never got that. I think that always hurt the act to me a little bit, to be honest with you.
I always considered Raven, you know, like a grunge rock...
I know,
guy,
that's the
right?
thing,
at least
right?
at first. Right?
And then I could have maybe seen it a little... But even then, I mean, I don't really see how that works so much with the cult leader thing, but who knows?
Yeah, but I mean, it's just luck. But again, I kind of see them as the... on par, but the flock, I think, is better than right now, anyway, than the two
Well, it's just
big
two guys, but like I said, I like more that these guys feel like guys that have been living with and been buying into Bray Wyatt, and he's taking advantage of these hillbillies than just guys who happen to be wrestler who's fallen under this other wrestler's spell. Like I like that act more. So yeah, it's only two guys and one of them's really not very good at all. But that said, you know, as far as a worker, but that said, yeah, I think it's still.
Well, and that said, I've seen them have, albeit against tons of funk every time, but I haven't had a problem with any of their work.
No, they're doing it the right way to hide it.
The two guys. I don't notice. I don't say one of these guys looks horrible. I haven't... Yeah, exactly, right? So, but anyway, that's a good question. I think there are definite similarities there. I was going to ask you, too, speaking of that guy no one's ever heard of, BJ Whitmer, the pile driver that was... The man giving him the pile driver that nobody saw was Michael Bennett. And I guess the question, do you think that, I mean, all talk was him to WWE. Do you think this hurts that?
No.
Do you think it's just, if he was going to get in, he was going to get in?
I think WWE looks at that and goes, that's ROH, that's not Mike Bennett.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly fine. I just, you know what I mean? Like, if it kind of hurt, he hurt a guy and go, oh, you know, but... trying to think of any other ROH notes. The Briscoes, I guess that is all going to be decided within the next couple of months, whether they go anywhere or not.
You know, for life, I had a question, that, like a news item that's come up, I felt, that we haven't talked about yet, that I really wanted to get to me. But for Christ's sakes, I cannot think of it. You had nothing else that's happened over the last 10 days, huh? We talked Chico Ortiz. We talked everything in WWE, I suppose. We talked financials, Angle. We
did. Yep. Sheamus,
yeah.
We've talked about the fucker that ran in on Randy Orton.
I think we talked about that last week, yeah.
That was last show, yeah. So I'm just trying to,
Yeah, no, I think, like I said, I feel like I'm missing something, but, you know, I can't think of it, so. I think that is all the major news items. So did you have any more little ones there? You know all about a little one. Yeah.
Here are your penises. You have two because they're so small. Mania did 1.03 million buys. Payback did 186,000.
Mm-hmm. That's worldwide.
So that's
yeah, not, worldwide. It's about 100,000 domestic.
Yes. So that's awesome.
Well, the thing is, I remember as we're getting near it, we're like, shit, this booking hasn't been good. The card looks good. You know? I mean, that's what we were saying going into it. And that's probably been the more often than not over the last 6 to 8 months in WWE. That's what we've said.
Yeah.
The booking looks good, or the card looks good. The booking to get there is off.
Yeah. So what are you thinking about SummerSlam then now? Now that we're 2 weeks out. Or a week and a half, really.
How many did it do last couple of years? I would need perspective of the last few years SummerSlam buys. Can we Google that here?
I can Google that here.
All right. Because, I mean, I would need to judge it based on whether or not I think. Right now at this point, compared to last year, I think last year with Lesnar versus Brock was fairly successful, if I remember correctly.
You know, you talk about how time flies in terms of just, I don't know, maybe it's because we're older now.
We're so old.
But, I mean, look at us.
So old.
We're so old. But, I mean, I can clearly remember exactly, like, vividly sitting on the couch looking over and telling you when Hunter was going to make his comeback in that match. Remember that? And that literally seems like only a couple months ago.
I know.
350,000 buys for the 2012
domestic
Summerfest. No, I think worldwide probably 350.
Okay.
I am trying to find. I'm clicking a link, and the link, and I quote, reads, "Disappointing WWE SummerSlam 2011 buy rate."
I can't think of what the 2011 SummerSlam main event was. Wasn't that? Oh, that was Cena versus Punk in the
Punk.
Yeah, rematch.
Did 301.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the year before with the Nexus did 350 again.
That was Nexus.
Which we were interested in at the time. Of course, it's in the Punk thing too. But
so I mean, 300,000 then.
Is that what you're thinking? Yes,
that's my thing right now. I don't think Daniel Bryan versus Cena is much of a draw. You know, it's all on the Punk Lesnar thing. So, you know, they have to position it right to make it impactful on Monday. See, I'd say 300,000.
I'd probably say that. I'd actually go on that level, 300, 301, again, similar to the Punk Cena.
Yeah.
And again, hopefully that doesn't give the company the cold feet, as it were.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of factors. But, you know, everybody knows if they only do 300,000 this year, it's because Triple H wasn't in it.
They didn't. No, it's because Daniel Bryan wasn't.
Oh, a little bit of A, a little bit of B.
But I think that, I mean, this is the part now where,
love champion,
as I said, they, Yeah, and they've done the...
Fuck that new The Beard Is Here shirt sucks.
Oh, yeah, I hope to God that's just for the one that was just a punchline.
Yes, I hope so, too. He needs to shave the beard, or like they say, trim it. I think he should shave it, because he looks too much like one of the Wyatt family members.
You can't now, though. You've made it that focal point.
Well, you can, for heat.
Well, you can have somebody shave it, like the Big Show raping Andre, or the Big John Studd raping Andre of his dignity.
Yeah.
Right? Cutting the hair. So you can knock out Brian and shave half the beard, so he's got to, or just put strips in it, so he's got to shave it, right? And be all pissed. But that's, to me, that's, he wins the belt, and, you know, does it, then he has to go around with the rematch at the Night of the Champions or whatever. But that, to me, becomes his, like, his Survivor Series or whatever, his grudge match.
You think he's going to win the belt?
Feud. I don't know, I'm just saying, to shave the beard, and you're talking heat. Yeah. To me, that's the heat that somebody garners.
Unless
from
he turns
first.
Heel and sides with the McMahons, I don't see any way he's winning the belt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he should win the belt, but I don't think he will. Yeah.
Should he win the belt, actually? I don't know.
Yeah, he should. He
probably should. He probably should. He is more, he's more over, probably. He's more over to the live crowd than Cena, for sure.
I think, I mean, but again, you talk about the television ratings, and Cena's quarter's what drew the rating, right? So, I mean, people will tune in to watch John Cena.
Well, yeah, because he's been the fucking star of the company for 10 years, but they'll only tune in so much.
Well, I mean, there is, but right now he's your peak. How do you develop a new peak? You give Brian the belt and you ride.
And then it's going to take time.
Yeah, and they're not going to do it, but they should. I'm looking forward to the Ring of Fire.
Well, I want it explained to me a little more. I was, like I say, I always thought it's one of those matches. It's like the work is no good, but the visual effect is awesome.
The thing is, I know what it is, so I'm looking forward.
It's 2005. Well, I assume it's going to be the same gimmick. Like I say, I mean, we don't know for sure.
It won't be the gimmick torch.
I mean, maybe they should do that. Maybe they can have a guy, a stuntman at the top of the Titantron. Cool. But anyways.
You know who could be? Oh, no, it can't be Hawk.
But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch in HD. Because I've never seen one in HD. You know, a high definition television. Because we're talking...
I'm aware of what HD stands for, yes.
But, yeah, I mean that's going to be... Because it is a visually very interesting looking match. I mean... If you haven't seen an Inferno match out there and you're not familiar with it, literally what they have is they have this gimmick that's I don't know how you would describe it. It's almost like a steel pipes that are outside the ring. And they're covered a little bit. And so there's flame constantly going around them, and obviously they're fueled by propane or whatever. And when you do a bump near it, near that pipe or whatever, the flames will bump up a little bit. If you do a really huge bump, like a superplex or something in the middle of the ring, the flames shoot up like 5 feet all across the ring.
Over the top rope, yeah.
And it looks really, really cool. It does melt the ring ropes, but it looks really, really cool. Yeah. I don't know how it would be live. I think live would be super cool and yet incredibly uncomfortable because that shit is hot. And there is no question about it. And it's also, that's one of the reasons why they don't have it as a long match. And one of the reasons why historically Kane has been in them, because he's, when he has his full body suit on, or even MVP, you know, he had that Power Rangers type outfit where they could set him on fire. Kane doesn't wear that same type of outfit anymore.
He could.
But he could, you could catch his foot on fire. Doesn't that?
Isn't that what happened?
It's usually the arm. It's always been the arm.
I thought the foot caught on fire the last in that MVP one.
No, I thought MVP caught on fire.
I thought it was a lame foot thing that they had anyway, but didn't him and Vader have an Inferno match as well? Kane and Vader? No, that was Mask versus Mask.
Yeah, Mask versus Mask. I don't recall that, So,
but I'm
you know what?
Sure
we'd all been waiting years to see Kane without it, or Vader without his mask. It was, it really meant a lot. It's not like he tore it off in fucking match he ever did.
Yes, but it gave Vader an excuse to say that he's a fat piece of shit.
That's true, when he lost. Sorry, I lost him, a fat piece of shit. And Jim Ross, we apologize for that, folks. But that was part of a scripted angle, too.
We apologize for that, folks. I've been telling him that for years, but I apologize for this.
Yeah.
But those were great, those old Ross reports, where like every week you'd look forward to who JR called fat. You made a couple of those, didn't you?
Well, they started calling it sponsored by Mo for a little while there.
That's true. That's
now the
true.
Fat portion of the Jim Ross sport is sponsored by Mo.
Brought to you by Mo, the fattest man you know.
Fuck you.
But I'm trying to think of, so again, that there's that, I'm not really looking forward to, Rhodes and Sandow really at all. They've given up television. I'm okay with the match.
I think the match will work very well. I think the match will start off with no heat and build to a fair amount of heat because I think Rhodes works well as a babyface, and Sandow works well as a heel. That said, again, it's also more entertaining guys is the guy that they're asking people to boo, which is also, but like I say, it really comes down to, you got to get, Rhodes needs to be far more natural. He needs to be less practiced and less like he's performing his interviews from his acting classes that he took, and more like he's giving a promo that's really him. And he needs to get rid of like the expense. He needs to be the son of the American Dream without being the son, without it being so obvious, without, you know, really, without referencing it, but he needs to have that more approachable blue-collar image.
Can he have polka dots?
Well, fucking right. Can we all? Can you imagine what I would look like in polka dots?
I can. I can. Like a common man. Just working hard as you can. I think I saw Sapphire when I was in Las Vegas.
Oh, God. Just let it go. Let it go. Handle it. Handle it. So
we could hook you guys up. I agree that I think you do need to for him to go and be that although Damien Sandow, to me, I mean, not a main event gimmick, but...
he performs it so when well, he though.
When he came out, and when they were in Corpus Christi, that SmackDown, and we went through the spoilers, and we didn't really talk about it, about the show, but he comes out, and the first thing he says on the microphone is, "Greeting half-wits of Corpus Christi."
That was great. That was great.
Fuck, I peed.
That was great.
I couldn't stop laughing. But when he was talking about how Rhodes' family has always been a bunch of freaks.
That was true, too.
I laughed at that, too. See, it's all true. So, but yeah, it's
freaks and geeks.
But yeah, and that's what it is. Is Cody Rhodes just turned into a geek? I think he needs some form of, I don't know what it is. And I thought this babyface
like
turn
I say,
was
he needs
be
to
it,
be, he needs to feel more relatable, more like a real person, less like a performance.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I think we're gone an hour and 50 minutes here or something like that, or close to, so let's call it a night. Why don't you let everybody know the relevant information, and we'll go O-U-T.
Okay. By the way, I just want to mention that next week at Hardcore Justice, they're going to have a Bound for Glory series ladder match. AJ versus Austin, Aries versus Kazarian versus Jeff Hardy.
Very nice.
The winner getting 20 points. Winner getting 20 points in the Bound for Glory.
That'll be a fun match.
Standings. So that's another reason. I think this Hardcore Justice is shaping up to be a definitely a watchable show. I just think the show itself with that is going to be a good show to be watching.
I'd agree.
Let's see here. So, yeah, so you can get Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com is our email. You can email me at Mr. Wilson did and ask questions.
But come up
there.
With a work name, something funny.
Yes.
lazy fucks. That would be good. I love my fans.
Yeah, don't.
I mean, and don't I appreciate something. Our listeners.
Don't just say something stupid. Because that's Mo's job. But also at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. So you can friend us or follow us there. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling is on Facebook. Again, give us a like on there. That Facebook, we just started to put a little bit of stuff into it in terms of that promotion, and it's just been, it really has been growing exponentially in the last, really, say, 3 weeks. We've probably, like, tripled our the number of people that access us on Facebook. So that is tremendous. So we thank you for that and keep going on that. Stitcher, we're on the Stitcher radio app there. So you can listen to us and download us on Stitcher. Also the iTunes.
The iMotherfucking Tunes.
You can get us there. You can download. You can follow us. You can leave us some motherfucking feedback.
That's the best. You can please do that. Yeah, motherfucking rate us or leave us some motherfucking feedback.
Yes. Or you're a motherfuck if you don't. But so that's. I think that's. Did I miss any motherfucking thing?
That motherfucking Wade Keller.
Right.
Fuck that motherfucker.
Fuck him. Yes. We should also mention that if you like those them picture books, then you could go to wetalkpodcast.com and read and hear all about them picture
them
books.
Them damn dare picture books with art and writing.
With the writing.
Yeah, the juice, the fly, and they're going to blow you up real good.
Real good. And time
is on my side. All right.
So that's going to do it. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Seriously, fuck that guy.
What a cocksucker.